Welcome back to another episode of The Playbook. Dave Meltzer here as always, and I'm excited to have pro surfer Anastasia Ashley on the show today. She sheds some light on the nightmare financial scenarios young athletes experience with their parents, what it's like to be a sponsored athlete before turning 10 years old, and the time and effort it takes to build a brand on social media. So let's drop in on this party wave for all that and more, only on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing with Entrepreneur The Playbook. And I am here with one of my favorite athletes, because we don't get many surfers on here, Anastasia Ashley, and she is a championship surfer and, you know, into the second part of her career. So I'd like to get into kind of what motivates people. A little background for everyone if they don't know who you are, because not everyone, they know the stick and ball sports, they don't know the great surfers. Tell us a little bit about your career and especially how you got started.
Yeah, so for me, I've been surfing for over 20 years, pretty much.
And you're only 21, so that's amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been surfing like pretty much my whole life. I started surfing when I was 5. I was not good in a lot of different sports. I tried everything, and surfing was the only one that really stuck, and I was really instantly good, which was crazy.
Can I stop you there for a second? I hate to do this to you, but I love when people, I deal with the biggest and brightest athletes, right? I ran Lee Steinberg, a famous sports agency. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the people that are the world's best at something, I always hear this. It's like, oh, you know, I picked up this ball, and like we were with Brandi Chastain, right? And she said, I played all these sports, but the minute I kicked a soccer ball, I was at home. What was the feeling like? Because I think it's important for people to know, like, when they find some kind of spiritual connection to what their purpose is.
Yeah.
And you're young, so you don't really have a conscious understanding of it.
Right.
Can you describe that feeling of, hey, I couldn't believe that I'm good at this for some odd reason?
It felt, like, natural to me in the sense of, like, it was walking. Like, it would just...
Do you believe in past lives?
I'm open to that. I wouldn't say I don't believe in it. I wouldn't say I do believe it. I fall in the
middle. Counting on it?
Yeah, like
I am.
You know, there's a lot of interesting conspiracies and theories and different things like that. And I love hearing. I'm very interested about all that stuff. I just haven't done my research to really have a...
Because I always want, I believe in past lives. And it's like, I wonder, like, you know, where that came from. But anyway, we'll go on. So you're 5 years old, you pick up your board, and it feels like you're home.
Yeah, so it just felt really natural. And then I, very shortly after that, started competing. I traveled around the world competing for years. I did...
There was a story I heard about when your first surfboard or first competition, you didn't have a surfboard or something?
Yeah, well, one of my first boards, I learned to surf on borrowed boards and just people down at the beach. I was living in Hawaii as a kid, and everyone had their boards out, so I would just borrow boards. And then, like, my first, like, my own board I found in the trash can. It was like, actually it wasn't that bad of a board, but it was, you know, some pro surfer like didn't want the board or something, and it was a little beat up and had some dings and stuff, but I took it, and then that was my board until I got sponsored.
And you basically won with that board.
I don't know if I won with that board, actually.
You were good enough to get sponsored with it.
Yeah. Well, people, I think someone saw, they're like, oh, if you're doing that on that board, you need like a
real board.
Real board, yeah.
No. You got your first sponsor. A lot of people think that when you're a professional in something, it's so easy to get endorsements and sponsorships.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I've dealt with endorsing men and women, and in golf and surfing and volleyball, I've had a really difficult time.
Yeah.
Because people want to give you free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually get money is a difficult thing. Talk about the business of what that's like to be a professional surfer.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, like, you know, the free product, you can't pay your rent with it.
Right.
Can't pay it in shoes, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I had sponsors that started off when I was a kid that were purely product sponsors, like surfboards, and, you know, back then there was no, like, girl even board shorts. It was, you know, boy board shorts, but you know, the surfboards are very expensive, so that was, like, a really big deal at the time, and then it wasn't until I was, like, probably 10 that I was actually getting sponsorships that weren't necessarily paying me, but they were paying for my travel, which is awesome, and that was, like, the biggest deal for me at the time, and then I probably didn't start getting paid until I was 14 to 15, where it was an actual, like, salary, here's a monthly check, and that was, like, really cool, but it was always a really difficult struggle because it's like any business. You have to prove to a company, like, why you're worth this money and why they should sponsor you and all, and, you know, why you deserve it, basically. From being a kid to now, it's the same game that I've always done, just on a bigger scale.
And that bigger scale happens because, let's talk about the branding that they had you do when you were young, because the internet wasn't as big, right?
No.
We didn't have 3.2 billion people to market to.
Yeah.
We had the people on the beach, the people on the radio, TV, and print.
Right.
Right? And here you're a gorgeous surfer, successful, you know, and they like that
right. In
that business. But tell me, you know, what they had you do, and how were your parents compensated? A lot of people are curious, you know, where does the money go? Do your parents keep all your money, or?
I remember when I was getting paid, essentially, that it was being paid to my mom. And it was always the thing, because if you're making, you know, $500 or $1,000, or if I was winning an event that was like at a $2,000 prize purse, which was very rare back in the day, it was like, where am I spending this? What am I doing? But it really all just went back into my career, which was very expensive.
Yeah.
For traveling. And
did your mom travel with you?
Yeah, she did a bit. I mean, I did do a lot of traveling with the teams I was, like, as a kid. So, because we were all there to compete. So it was a very, you know,
structured, competitive type of atmosphere.
But yeah, no, I think it's interesting because a lot of parents, though, especially, like, I've seen, you know, since I've been older, a lot of parents, and there are kids that get $1 million contracts when they're 16 years old. That wasn't me, but it goes to the parents, and it's very often that the parents will take the money and these kids don't ever see the money.
Yeah, and blow, that used to happen with actors, and then they changed the law for child actors that there's actually a fund created. So I was curious if they didn't have that for surfing.
You know, I think they have something like that now, but I don't know. I mean, I still hear it a bit. I don't have kids yet, but also at the same time, like, now that I'm older and reflect and can see how much time my mom and some of my peers' parents, you know, they gave up their careers, they gave up their jobs. So if you are full time taking your child and traveling, and or you're the coach or the photographer, like, I do think that it is warranted to be, you know, compensated. But, you know, if someone is getting some six-figure or seven-figure deal, you know, and you never see that money, that's probably pretty rough.
Yeah. Would you have done it for free?
Like,
surf competitive,
yeah,
travel?
I mean,
if you could afford to go around and...
Yeah, I mean, I did do it for free for a long time because basically I put all my money, the money I did make, it all went back. Like, I never saw it. Like, when I first got a couple of my first checks, I was like, oh yeah, like, I'm gonna, you know, put TVs in my car and do all this dumb stuff. And then I realized, I was like, this is a waste of time.
Right. Now, looking back again, would you do it over the same way?
I've thought in the past, like, oh, I could have done these things different. But it all seems to end up where it's supposed to end up. And I'm a big believer in that. So I wouldn't necessarily go back.
Now, transitioning from athletics, no matter what you're paid, mm-hmm. let alone when you're not paid a lot, mm-hmm. into the business world, mm-hmm. and branding yourself, utilizing your past successes as well as your future promise, mm-hmm. What are you doing today to utilize your successes of the past to monetize? Because we do have a bigger audience. We have a much bigger platform. You have a great following.
Right.
What are you doing today? And, you know, a lot of the people out there that watch and, you know, the entrepreneur shows and our entrepreneur magazine, they're looking for, like, hey, you know, I want to do this, but I don't know how to brand myself. Because not everyone's a Kardashian.
Right.
It's real thin on that top of the, it's like almost being Will Smith.
Right.
And, but yet everyone thinks it's so easy just to build a million followers.
Right.
Like anything, it takes a lot of time and energy. I mean, if there was a, you know, natural recipe and a word per word thing, then everyone,
right, if it's easy, everybody would do it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it's not just one thing or another or a step-by-step thing. I think it's really catered to the individual. I'm now at this place that took 20 years to get there, so
right, you're an overnight success at 20 years.
Yeah,
I hear that a lot too.
Yeah.
You talked about consistency, and I think a lot of people understand persistence.
Right.
Right, you're a never quit person. You know, I'm sure tons of different challenges. I know your mom passed when you were younger, and I get persistency because all great athletes have it. But what people don't realize is the word consistency. What does that mean in your career, both when you were surfing and now as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think it's the same theory, like you said. Like it's that I've always applied my whole life. It's definitely, you know, being consistent and also being not too comfortable. Because I think also in sports, what a lot of people learn is that, like, even if you do reach a certain level and you are the best for the period of time, there's always someone trying to beat you. Right. So
you talk about being comfortable, and you talked about when you started, you know, having that surfboard was just like meant to be. How do you feel in the business world? Do you feel the same passion, or is there a disconnect or a void?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I feel very similar from my sports background to the business world now, because I do feel like when I started surfing, it was a very man's sport. And
like everything else.
Yeah, and like exactly.
If you're as old as me, you'd really get it.
Yeah, so I mean,
male-dominated sport.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think a lot of things to it, it's still business and marketing and all that stuff is still very male-dominated as well. And I think it's really awesome now because there's a lot more of a female presence in all aspects of the world and business. So, but yeah, I mean, I think definitely a lot of my sports background plays into what I do now.
I'm going to give you a phrase called find your frequency, right? I believe everyone has a vibration or a frequency.
Right.
What does that mean to you when someone tells you, hey, you know, you really found your frequency, Anastasia?
I totally agree with you, and I totally get that concept, and I believe in it as well. I think it's really being in tune with what's going on around you and yourself to be on your best path. I think a lot of people, it's very easy in today's world to be very distracted, very not in tune with what's going on around you, or like also seeing signs.
I have three daughters. One's 19, who's actually here with us, and I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old daughter, all three of them. What piece of advice would you give them as far as pursuing their happiness?
I think for young girls out there today, I think there's so much noise and distraction, and I think it really comes down to just, you know, finding what you love to do and that you're being excited about it and knowing that nothing is easy, that is good. And that's really what I would say. Because I think now with the generation below me is, you know, really into instant gratification. And they see now because of the internet and social media that, oh, I want to do that, or I want to be doing this, or I want to go there. And it's a lot of false ideas. So I think I would just say that, like, yes, you know, having great things and doing great things in life is obtainable, but also you have to be prepared to lose and fail.
Yeah, keep working on it. I, you know, do a lot of business coaching, and I had someone, they're so surprised, like, oh, you started speaking in 2014. I said, yeah, I actually committed to 100 days to speak for free, to gain the skills, the knowledge, the desire. I sacrificed a ton of money and time, and, you know, I have four kids now, a family that I'm traveling around, and overnight flights and speaking on 3 days to skip And yet, you know, with all the books and the TV shows and all this stuff, it's like overnight success. Well, before even the, you know, the 4 years of practicing that, there was, you know, 25 years, yeah, including losing everything, you know, to get to that success. What was your biggest challenge when, you know, for you, everyone has had ups and downs. What was your biggest challenge that you felt like, gosh, I should just quit on this?
I don't think there's been one biggest challenge. I think it's every day there's new challenges. So it's, I don't look at the challenges as a bad thing. I look at it as a, you know, a challenge.
Well, I think that's real important because I feel the same way. Like I tell people, you really can find yourself when a challenge comes or whatever, a challenge, you know, something that is unexpected in your plan, and you can get excited about it going, hey, something, because you take that, everything happens at the right time for the right reason. And you seem like me, like you get really excited going, oh, cool, something better is happening because this didn't turn out the way I thought it was supposed to turn out.
Right.
Is that what you feel like, or is there a nuance to that that I'm not getting?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. Like, I think a lot of people, get easily discouraged. And I talk to a lot of my friends and, you know, peers who want to be doing more things, or they, you know, really don't even put themselves out there to try, which is, I think, the biggest fail to begin with. Even though I say, I'm like, you know, this, just because you want to do something doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But you never know until you try. And if it doesn't work, keep trying harder. So, yeah, I mean, I think that challenges are great. And like you mentioned, like, you know, being to overcome these challenges and accomplish whatever it might be is a really good you know, sense of accomplishment and, you know, sense of self-worth.
Well, you have had such a successful career starting so young, and I always feel blessed that my career started in my 20s, mm-hmm, right, to have an executive career in my 20s, mm-hmm, let alone when you're five. So last question, you know, having that first life, mm-hmm, and, you know, I always say professional athletes live two deaths. Mm-hmm. The day they stop being a professional athlete, and then actually the day they die. What legacy do you want to leave? I know you're still so young, but what legacy do you want to leave when it's all over?
My whole motto and what makes me happy and gives me joy and gets me excited is when people say that I've touched them in a way to make them inspired to do something. And it doesn't mean to be surfing. It doesn't mean to be sports. It could be anything, but that I inspired them to do something. And I think that's really what my happiness of leaving my mark or leaving my message out there is, that, like, you know, just try something and go for it.
That's awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure. I'm so glad that I got to have my daughter here to meet you in person and to see what you can become when you find your frequency, stay consistent in what you do, see every challenge as a positive thing that's happening to you, no matter what it is. You are like the little gorgeous surfing Buddha with great wisdom beyond your years. And it seems that you've definitely found a space that to inspire other women, to inspire women and men, by the way. So we really appreciate your successes and love to have you back. I'm sure we'll do some more stuff together. Awesome. But this is Anastasia Ashley here on Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out new episodes of The Playbook every Tuesday on your favorite platforms.